Peace be with you. So today, we will talk about our sense of guilt and whether it can help our faith living. So when we think about it, we know that sometimes we are very afraid and we tend to give up any sense of guilt. And then we may rely on people or we may continue to sin. But sometimes under accusations, we will also be afraid. Because when we are accused, it's a very heavy burden. So this is something that troubles us. If someone tells you, do you pray? Do you read the Bible? You didn't, right? And when that happens, and then our hearts will feel this great rebuke. Because we know we are not perfect. So if people tell us, you know, God has given you grace, and why didn't you come to church to know His word? So that is another severe accusation. So we know, if we only depend on a sense of guilt or accusation, we will not be able to serve God, because you didn't come willingly to face God and to serve Him. But yet, if we do not have any sense of guilt or accusation, then we won't come before God to seek God's forgiveness. So we know. And we must clearly understand. If we need to come before God to seek His forgiveness, then we need that sense of accusation in our heart. But if we are only concerned about that accusation, then we may not grasp the grace of God's forgiveness. And some people, they are only concerned about God's forgiveness and they do not care about their accusation and guilt. So some people, they will just say, do not think so much. And do not be troubled by what worries you or what stresses you. But you must forgive yourself. So people come up with all this kind of saying. But if we are very careful believers, we know that this sounds right, but these are not biblical. To forgive yourself or so on. So, more correctly speaking, what the Bible teaches us is if we deliberately select certain teachings and do not clearly understand the Bible, then we will miss the point. But if we know God's full gospel, then we will be set free. So we need both. We must not throw away the guilt, but we must also not lose the heart to seek forgiveness. So these two things, the sense of guilt and the heart to seek forgiveness, both are important. So if we come before God by faith, God will reward those who seek Him. So if we bring our need and we come before God, and if we bring faith to meet God, then God will reward us with whatever we need. And God will give us that heart of forgiveness. So we need to be reminded by God's holiness. We need God's righteous sentence. And that is more important than human idea. So, we need God's rebuke. But at the same time, we also need God's forgiveness. If we receive God's forgiveness, then we will all the more fear God. So let's read Psalms 130. Verse 1, out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? Verse 4, but with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. So first, we need to ask, why does God allow us be overwhelmed with calamities or some troubles, and then we are oppressed? Why? God only has one reason, and that is so that we may be driven to exercise in prayers. So we'll be driven to pray, to seek God. So Psalms 130 verse 1 tells us that out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. And so our troubles include certain hurts and wounds. But think about it. If a person in his troubles, he continues to seek God, he continues to attend church meetings, continue to hear God's word, such a person is loved by God. And so God will surely comfort him. And sometimes in order to humble that person, you think about that. Sometimes if we change very fast, we thought we are very good and we feel very complacent. And we magnify that sense of complacency, and then we didn't really pray too much. And so in terms of seeking God, we lose that kind of passion. Of course, if we have too much affliction or oppression or hurts, so we feel it's very difficult to pray. But we must think about it. Do we truly understand our heart? In my own experience, I know that sometimes when I am well, so I will seek God. I want to know God more. I have this hunger and thirst for righteousness, but over time, you realize that you just treat knowing God's word as something very common. But then you need to apply God's truth. So you seek what you think is better, and when that happens, sometimes I realize I'm trying to escape the reality. So I didn't confirm what God is, what kind of grace is God giving me in my realistic situation. So when a person has not met his end, I realize we cannot pray. We will not pray. Even if you are well, you will not pray. Even if you met troubles, you may also not pray. So, verse 2 tells us one thing. Verse 2, here it says, O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy. So what does this mean? It tells us that it is more difficult to be certain that God hears our voices than we are to follow God. So what does this mean? When I'm leading the baptism class, one thing I keep questioning is, because those who are getting baptized, they will always say that, I'm willing to follow God in all things. I'm willing to know God, to follow God, to commit to God. But my question is, does God know that person? It's not about whether you are willing or not to follow God, but whether God knows you. So, Psalms 130 verse 2 says something very amazing. Oh Lord, hear my voice. God is the Lord of Lords. He's a creator Lord. He knows everything. He is everywhere. But this person is unsure whether God hears his voice. But he's very clear that he already cried out to God. So this assured heart is difficult to get. So we must not think that in our very troubled moments, then it's easier for us to come before God. In fact, God hears, it may not be always the case where God always hears your cries. Because perhaps at that time, it may seem as if you are forcing yourself to believe or to seek God's face. And when you have better music, you sing hymns with more feelings, and it seems as if you are more willing to come before God. It seems as if your heart is more open, but that may not be the case. Because you may not have come before God in the right way. And when you didn't come before God in the right way, then your heart in the second, third, or fourth time will start to grow cold. So how should you face God when your heart is not assured? You will not be able to be livened up and be joyful in the midst of this. So these few verses are for believers, are for living persons. Because living persons, those who are born again, they are seeking, they are praying and asking God to give them assured hearts. Actually, this psalm only has 4 verses. So you need to be assured that God hears your prayer and comforts you. So these 2 verses, Roman Catholics use this. So they pray to God in the innermost. So they seem to die to themselves, but they committed certain sin, so they feel as if they are not forgiven, so they try to pray. So certain Roman Catholics, they believe from these verses that they can pray for those who are dead to seek God's grace in soul, in the grave. But if you read these verses carefully, that is, we living persons, we who are born again, we must receive forgiveness and be reconciled with God, but yet it is not so simple. It doesn't mean that you anyhow hold on to God's forgiveness and you think it is well. It's also not you anyhow hold on to your accusation and then you'll be fine. So we'll explain more later. Second, we should not ignore charges brought against us from God. So let's take a look at verse 3. So if God condemns us, how can we escape from it? So we must face it. So if we have certain guilt, we must not lose that guilt. The world will tell us, do not care about it. Do not be guilty or accused. But this doesn't come from God. But many people will think like this, even Christians. Why? Because just now I mentioned the burden of guilt is very real. Because guilt itself is a form of worry. Because the moment you think about your guilt, how can you feel happiness? How can you feel good? You will immediately lose peace, and so that guilt will torment your soul. So if you want to have joy, then people of course want to reject guilt. So they want to reject guilt means they want to get rid of guilt. So natural person and non-believers, they will naturally behave in this way. But if you are believers, we know that in the Bible, God clearly talks about this. So if we remove the guilt and accusation, then we will feel nothing when we read verse 3. So we must go back to the Bible and understand. Objectively, we must understand. There is objective guilt. So if you are being condemned by God, then you must differentiate between your objective guilt versus your subjective guilt. Sometimes you feel very guilty. That may not mean you are sinful, but that also may not mean that if you are without guilt, then it means you are sinless. So in the society, we know that there are certain anti-society people, or there are some psychotic. When they committed crime, they have no sense of guilt. And in the court, when they are sentenced to, they are given their sentence, they have no emotions or feelings at all. Instead, they seem to be very happy when they committed crimes. They have no sense of guilt. Doesn't mean that they have no sin. So our feelings sometimes deceive us. What you have may not mean that anything is there, or what you don't have may not mean that's the case. So when the judge gave out a sentence, so whether the accused feel guilt or not, that charge is already fixed, and he must undergo the sentence that he deserves. So we must be assured, but we must come back. If we are complete in our spirit, and if we do not lose our heart of being rebuilt and accused, that is a very useful tool. If your body is painful, that is a signal to you that something's wrong with your body. So if you keep thinking you have no pain, and then you realize too late that you have late stage cancer, then it's such a pity. So the guilt is a kind of indication. So if your spirit is healthy, then you do not anyhow drown any sense of guilt, because this guilt could help you to let you know whether you truly have sinned. So second point, we must know that God often creates a sense of guilt before we know our sins. So here we must very objectively understand certain things. Some people, when they receive salvation, when they come to church, they think that they are saved. When you mention a little bit on sin, they are willing to listen. Some people, they do not listen to message on their sin, but they like to be forgiven by God. So this itself is problematic. So believers, we must train in this area. We must not feel very defensive once we hear people talk about, once we hear people accuse us. So in the family, I observe there's two kinds of people. One kind is they often quote pastor's message and then accuse the family members. See, you didn't do this. You have no love. You didn't submit to your husband. You didn't carry out God's word. Too much of this is not good. Yet, another kind of person is, oh, you are legalist. Whatever God's, so you cannot mention any words of rebuke. You can only say good words. So this is also wrong. So in a very complete and healthy family, I saw that some people, the wife rebuked the husband, you didn't have this and that. But the husband is very receptive to listen. So I look at the whole situation. It's not bad. It's very good, if in fact, because everyone is humble to learn. And the husband also talked to the wife, and the wife is willing to accept. But of course, too much of this is also not good. Sometimes you need reminders, but you cannot have too much. Because you have too much of this, then people may lose their temper. So whether it's in the family or in the church, we must not be too persistent in our ways. We must let God's truth direct us. So God's truth includes His law, but it also includes His forgiveness and His grace. So we must be able to open our hearts. So we must not think too much about how we should protect our heart. So verse 3 tells us that if God truly wants to mark our iniquities, then who can stand if that's the case? So if you want to escape, you want to ignore, but if you do not think about this, if you ignore that, that means that God will pursue you to the end. So you will face certain troubles and consequences in your life. And then you wonder where those come from. So we must face God directly. Sometimes God gives us certain uneasy feeling. So before you give people a charge of sin, God will give people a sense of uneasiness. So do not immediately reject that sense of non-peaceful feeling. So you must confirm it. Is it because you have some sins? And if you have sins, then you have to face it. And then if you realize your sin, then you realize that you are sinful before God. And is that good? That's not good. But if that is true, it is good that you are aware of sin and you can come before God and you need His grace of forgiveness. So we must not exaggerate our good and drown our wrongs. So sometimes we do many good things and we correct many people. Seems as if we have done a lot of good things and we are very right. Maybe some people, they do not truly understand what is meant by salvation. So they keep correcting people here and that, this and that. So we also must understand that we cannot gloss over our own faults. We must also not think that we have no sin. So if you have sin, you must come before God to reflect about whether you have any sin. Do not think that since everyone are sinful, then my sin is no big deal. Because if that's the case, you have not come before God. Because if you merely do that, you are just dealing it at the human level. So these four verses tells us, it tells us that when people face very severe trouble, the Bible points us to face God. If you face very severe pain, illness, or unfortunate events, how can you say? You just anyhow reflect and then you just claim that you have no sin? So you must not come to this conclusion too fast. So no one is perfectly clean. So when we reflect, we must think about two kinds of sin. So there are sins of commission and sins of omission. Go back a little. So what are sins of commission? Sins of commission is you have done what you shouldn't be doing. And sins of omission means what you need to do, you didn't do. So we all know the sins of commission. So I will explain a little bit more on sins of omission. Sins of omission means you know many things, but you do not carry out. You know this person, he is He is very busy and very careless. You need to remind him. If you see a person a few times, my Thai, because during Holy Communion, I need to wear a tie, but sometimes I've forgotten, and pastor will remind me. So if the person sends another person's wrong, and he didn't say anything, then he's sinful. So, but if he reminds, then he has done right. So if you are aware of certain things, and you go and tell your children, your family members, for example, children, if you suddenly tell your children, let's go out, let's do this and that. So you must tell the person in advance, not suddenly. So if you tell some people in advance, because people do not like sudden events, because they like to be informed in advance. Otherwise, sin is upon you, although the other person also have sin, but you also have sin, because you already knew, your conscience already tell you, but you didn't go and do it. So we know, even King David ever prayed like this: what I do not know, the sins that I do not know, please also forgive me. Because many a times we do not know, but your conscience is aware, already stirred, but you didn't go and pray, you didn't go and do it, you didn't speak out what you know. So another thing, for example, we know Good Friday and Easter is coming, and we know there's gospel rally. Many times we feel the stress of inviting people. So we tell ourselves, do not think so much about this stress. So if you keep neglecting this, it will become your sin, because you didn't go and invite. You didn't go and pray for people around you. So guilt is before us. So my point is, we must come before God. If there are certain things bothering us in our heart, we must not ignore them. Otherwise, over time, you will lose your sense of awareness. So some people, they do not know how to apply God's word or confirm God's word. Why? Many a times, the reason is because they are not living in the word of God. So they do not know what people think. For example, in the cell group for long, I realize my sense of awareness is higher. I realize if I say this, people will get sensitive. If I say that, then people cannot take it. So your self-consciousness will increase, and then so the sins of commission and sins of omission will become more obvious, and so this will help us better to know how to have the awareness to do good. But those people who do not know, they will just anyhow speak, anyhow feel about things, and they will anyhow attend church. And then when this happened, they didn't know that they are actually in a state where they cannot grow. So when we come before God, we must not think that we can come before God boldly. So if you look at that verse that tells us to come before God boldly, if you look at the context of that verse, just now we also read in responsive reading, the Bible tells us that if you examine yourself and you find yourself to be without God's rebuke, because God's heart is greater than us, so we cannot say we don't have means don't have. But if God say yes, there is, then there is. So if God truly didn't rebuke us, then we can come before God boldly and with confidence. But if God is greater than our heart, and we come before God and we feel that we must think, can we anyhow come before God? So during Holy Communion, there's always a verse to tell us that we need to examine ourselves so that we will not eat and drink our own sin. So these are similar meanings. So the Holy Communion cannot give us special grace, but it reminds us there is the grace of forgiveness through Jesus' flesh and blood. And His blood cleansed all our sin. So the Holy Communion will remind us of God's grace. So when we come before God, we need to examine ourselves. And we must not drown any discomfort in our heart. So commit to God our areas of discomfort. And we need to find liberation before God. So even the most godly of all believers should examine themselves. So last week we talked about the book of Acts. Now we read about two persons who have positions in the church. So when Ananias and Sapphira committed wrong against God, God immediately allowed them to fall dead. But it's not just for their sake, but it's for the purity of the whole church. So the whole church must be clean. So and Ananias and Sapphira's falling to the ground is for the sake of the whole church, including the apostles. They all need to come before God to examine, because God truly wants to purify His church. So we all need to come before God to be more mindful and to be willing to purify ourselves, because that's God's heart. Because when God tells us in verse 3, He says, verse 3 from Psalms 130 says that if God wants to mark our iniquity, no one can stand before Him. So this psalmist tells us, if the entire human race is covered under this, meaning to say that the entire human race are sinful, no one is righteous. So God marks the entire human race as sinful. So who can escape from this? So in the New Testament, we know that except from believing in Christ, there's no other way by which you can remove your sin and receive eternal life. So in Christ, there is forgiveness. And if you're not in Christ, there will be no forgiveness. And then fourth, here it tells us one thing, that God is very scary for God to judge humans, because we are all at the mercy of God's wrath. So if God wants to sentence everything, and if he's the strictest judge, then how? Actually, God also wants us to recognize that we have no choice but to only seek God's mercy alone. So, if we have no other escape road before God, then we can only come before God to seek His mercy, to seek His forgiveness. So God wants us to find Him. God does not just want to give us a death sentence, but God wants to save us. So the Jews, when we look at the Old Testament, the Jews understood such things. If a person claimed that he can forgive sins, then it means that that person is God. So we tend to find people to help us. But only Jesus can help us. But we know very clearly, only God can forgive our sins. So God give us judgment, but at the same time, God also can give us mercy. Mercy and grace is the same. So we must not be like hypocrites. So because hypocrites think that they can reduce their own sentence, and so they try to escape and they justify themselves. So why do they want to reduce their own sentence? Because they feel the pain. And so they try to find a way by which they do not need to come before God completely. So they come before God half-heartedly. They have their own methods. But now the psalmist clearly told us that he dare not, he absolutely dare not say that he thinks he is righteous. He dare not say that. He thoroughly examined himself to find out whether he has sinned. So it's not just they face the problem and they quickly want to escape from it. But the heart has come to a dead end, so they have no way but to come before God. So this is very possible. Because if God's judgment comes upon us, no one can take it. So natural persons in such a situation will discover it's better to escape or avoid because it's too painful. And they do not want to think about this. But the mystery of the gospel is this. And that is, if you depend on other ways or solutions, there's no answer for you. There's no way for you to use any of your good as a form of merit to get any accreditation of righteousness before God. There's no way you can do that. You need to put down your own good. Sometimes you do not know whether you can do it or not. Only God can empower you to do good. It's not about whether you yourself can do it. It's not about whether you can meet God's standard. But the thing is, you cannot. And not just you cannot. But when God's accusation comes, no one person can bear it. So may God forgive. Whether it's the sins of commission or omission, sometimes we do not even know them well. So we keep having to come before God. And then the fifth point, okay, let's look at verse 3 again. So verse 3 says, If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? So in this verse, it also tells us one thing. If God has already gave a certain charge of sin, then it also means that only God can justify a person. So we cannot deny. No one should deny God's sentence. Because if God justifies a person, He is perfectly justified. So in our faith, we must understand that the doctrine is important. So it's all by God's wrath, but yet at the same time, there's also perfectly the salvation of Christ. So Only God can justify us by faith. It's all by God's grace. But now, many kinds of partial righteousness are being made up. So, you just receive some of this. So some people, especially those in the Methodist Church, they talk about prevenient grace. They say that God has given you the prevenient grace so you can choose to accept or reject God. So this is a little bit profound. You just receive if you can. So there is some flavor of humanism here. Because ultimately, it's not complete reliance on God's grace, but it's just partial. So partially there's God's grace, but you yourself must add to God's grace, your works, your choice, in order to grasp God's salvation. So it's like half-half. Although they didn't say that, but ultimately, you need to make a choice. So there's some human-driven elements. And some people, they think that Holy Communion or baptism as the holy sacraments. So there's two sacraments, the baptism and the communion. So some people, they think that when they have gone through sacraments, they feel better about themselves. They feel they're holier. So they just think that is sacraments merely a symbol. But we must know that true grace comes from God. It doesn't come from you going through water baptism or partaking in the Holy Communion. So some people, they got this wrong. So they just keep thinking that if I partake in the Holy Communion, it's not bad. So they partake Holy Communion at home themselves. So this is not right. Because when you do that, you are halfway clinging onto God's grace. So it seems as if your sin is resolved halfway so you can come before God. But that is a wrong idea. Only God's perfect forgiveness and justification, then it works. You cannot be half-half. Because if it's only halfway, then you will depend on human ways. And some, when you talk about tongues, some people feel that tongues is powerful because they cannot thoroughly depend on God's word. God says, I have forgiven you by what Jesus has done on the cross. You are a new person before God. You can restore that. Some people, they cannot do this. So they need tongues to so that they can feel better. And then, actually, this involves wrong teachings. Another thing is deliverance. They have a lot of problems. They want to be better. So some they feel as if their hearts are open, they can come before God. So they imagine halfway solutions. So Roman Catholics, sometimes when they partake the Holy Communion, they also think that in that moment they are righteous. But what about after the Holy Communion if they sin? So they always have to partake the Holy Communion. So if you partake the Holy Communion and you sin and you die again and you need someone to pray for you, so these are wrong teachings. So only God can justify. So we must only come before God to fully face Him. Then we can fully need Him. Of course, I'm not saying that when we come before God, we do not need our heart to be open. Of course, we need it. I mean, we have people to counsel us. But what I meant was, all these other things may only open our heart a little bit more, but they play no role in adding to our righteousness unless God forgives us. And only when God forgives us, then we can stand before God. We cannot be half-half. Yes is yes, no is no. Of course, sometimes we need to be counseled, but that has nothing to do with our level of righteousness. If you're enlightened, but you realize that you didn't come before God, your heart may be partially open, but a few times later, you may become numb, and you will not think about God, and when you it's harder for you to come before God. It's harder for you to sense God's grace. So biblical doctrines are very important, and we must come before God completely. And so the main point, the sense of forgiveness from God produces holiness. The people cannot understand this, but the Bible tells us that people think that if we talk more about God's judgment and greatness and talk more about God's accusation, then people will fear God more. No, actually, Bible tells us what? Verse 4 of Psalms 130 says that, but with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. So we must read verse 3 and 4 together. Everyone will agree. So first point, everyone agrees that no man is free from sin. Whether you are believers or non-believers, they can recognize that they are sinful. So if a person is sinful, he cannot escape because the punishment will catch up with him. So non-believers, they may not know God. They may be more fearful of retribution. So everyone can agree on this. All religions, all systems, even our laws will recognize this, that if anyone is sinful, you cannot escape the consequences of sin. But very few people will believe that God can give you free grace such that you receive the grace of forgiveness, because natural person will always think that if I want to be liberated from sin, if I want to be free from my guilt, then I must not think too much about it. No one will think that we have to come before God. So some people, they keep calling out to God, please forgive my sin. And they keep asking because they do not believe that God will give them free grace. But we must know that God's grace is free. Because humans, we have this inclination to disbelieve God's free grace. So naturally, humans are only silent in their sin, and they slowly lose the awareness and consciousness toward sin. So their faith living in their faith living, they lose more and more feeling towards sin because they cannot examine themselves, and they have a lot of doubts because they are without root and foundation. If the foundation is not on God but on man, of course it will shake. Only God can give true grace of forgiveness. So our foundation should be placed on God. And because people cannot find peace and they are doubtful, so they are very troubled in their heart and very depressed. And so some people break down. I'm not saying that believers won't break down. Sometimes there are such situations, but why? Because because sometimes we are not so clear about doctrines, we are just very selective. And so sometimes we don't receive complete teaching. And so people just invent their own doctrines, which is partial. So it resulted in humans wanting to place their hope in men. So second, men needs to be awakened by both God's judgment and faith in His forgiveness. So we need both God's judgment and faith in God's forgiveness. So we come before God. If He brings us any charge and we are indeed guilty, then we need to examine whether we have any sin. So when we realize that, guilt will bring us shame. And it may bring us fear. And we will feel very uneasy in our heart. And we may feel depressed. But if you ignore this, you must ask yourself, is this enough? Because if you are in this, slowly you will dislike God. Because God's accusation is very scary. So if you just look at verse 3, it's very scary. Now verse 3 must drive us to God to ask with our heart and ask God to forgive us by His grace. We need that faith. So people who are not born again cannot understand this. But people who are born again will know that he is being charged by God. And second, he needs faith to seek God. So God will surely reward those who seek God. And that is called faith. So born again people, God will not abandon their souls to hell. But God will make the person live again. God will make the person come alive, just as God raised Christ from the dead. So a person is being accused, but in his heart, he realized he needs God's grace, and he realized that only God can forgive him. So, why is it that the Bible demands so much of our holiness, purity, and asks us to pursue righteousness? And not just righteousness, but also pursue with a willing and cheerful heart. Why did the Bible say this? In order for us to rely on God's grace, so that we cannot believe in ourselves, cannot believe that we can save ourselves, cannot believe that we can rely on ourselves for any kind of faith living. So we need this hope. So if God judge us, then forgiveness and mercy must come from God. So we cannot just seek God's grace like this. You must be very sure. You must have the assurance of God's grace. Because without that assurance, it would be very tough on you. So, faith living without assurance of salvation, without assurance of forgiveness of sin, that is a very miserable kind of faith living. So, when we come before God, if there is the area of forgiveness of sin by God, then you need to remove the guilt in your heart. Because you truly come before God and you're truly fearful and you receive God's grace already. You already know your sin. So what about the accusation? You must remove it. But you must go through the right procedure. So do not escape. So we must live before God Do not be self-complacent. But we must come before God. If you are not assured in your heart, you must get assurance from the Word of God. In the past, one of the testimony to share with you is a few times in the past, because the heart of accusation is very real. So when a person is being accused, you cannot help it. No matter how you hold on to God's grace, perhaps you also cannot control yourself. So we say only Christ. We cannot also depend on our faith, because sometimes we have no faith left to depend. So what we need to depend is we need to trust God. We must trust that Christ will think for you even when you lack faith. So a few times in the past, when I don't really understand this, so unless very good counselor tells me Jesus has already forgiven your sin, he's already forgiven means he already forgave. So why are you still struggling? When that person told me this, I'm not fully liberated, but I go to read the Bible myself, and one day, suddenly, I receive this, that it is God who forgives me. So how can I despise God's forgiveness? Who am I? Can I treat God's forgiveness with contempt? So when I understood this, then I realized that even you yourself want to hold on to it, you also need to let go of that guilt. And so finally, that in the entire Bible, from the Old to the New Testaments, ultimately, we need to realize that God is inclined to forgive. For pardon produces fear, love, and duty. To prompt us to want to serve God even more. So we need to pray and ask for God's forgiveness. In the Lord's Prayer, the fact that we can come before God, it comes with the heart of reconciliation with God. So we must understand. The human heart is really very sensitive. So even sermons also. Sermons must have the foundations. Our sermons must have the foundations of willingness produced by God's forgiveness, so that there is obedience from the heart. Because Christians, in our faith living, after being born again, lies in this critical element. Why do we want to serve God? Why do we feel that it's an honor to serve God? Why is it a privilege to come before God? God is all our good. So in preaching sermons, it is important, because some sermons are too harsh to keep charging at human sin, but didn't bring people back to how much we humans need God's forgiveness. Because God Himself is inclined towards forgiveness. And so this is very important. So do not... So some sermons are too heavy. And so in this area, we must be sensitive. When we listen to sermons, we must be sensitive. And we must not be selective in receiving sermons. In Paul's teachings, just now we read that we must not feel reluctant. because God loves a cheerful giver. So even when teaching about offering, we must also offer cheerfully. When you serve, you also serve cheerfully. So in all our faith living, it may start in the at the beginning, it may be very difficult. Sometimes we didn't submit to God cheerfully, but ultimately, in our faith living, we must quickly restore to the state where in all things, because we are touched by the forgiveness of God, we are willing to love God and serve Him, and in the duty He has given us, we are willing to carry out. Otherwise, we only want to avoid God, and then later on we lead to dislike Him and later to rebel against Him, and then as a result we become enemies with God. Or if we come before God without full forgiveness, without full reconciliation and harmony, then what happens? Then we will event some halfway or truncated kind of righteousness, and then we will lose joy. So it's necessary for us to repent. We must make true prayers. Because we need guilt, but we also need faith to believe in God's forgiveness. So let's pray. Lord, as we come before You, may Your word help us understand that we need Your law. You have told us in all things that we must continue to follow You. And we need to know that we need the faith to trust in Your forgiveness. You are the one who gave us free grace. What the people of the world see as foolish, but Lord, it is Your wisdom. Lord, help us know that we not just get eternal life, but we also get abundant life from You. Lord, please help us as we partake in this Holy Communion. Lord, we thank You and we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.